In the past few days, we have witnessed a roller coaster of emotions in the Jewish calendar. We've also witnessed a roller coaster of emotions in our national life here in Israel with Operation Tzuk Eitan, and I'd like to address both of these if time allows. First of all, we had Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, the saddest day in the Jewish calendar. We of course hope that it will turn into the happiest day, Emir Tzashem, with the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash and the ingathering of all of Bnei Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, and to the destruction of Amalek, and to the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. B'mheira v'yameinu, amen. But this year, it was, Tisha B'Av was the saddest day in the calendar, and it's been that way for almost 2,000 years. And in many ways before that as well, all the way back to the time of the Chet HaMeraglim. And yet, this week we also celebrated Tu B'Av. Tu B'Av always occurs between Parshat Ve'etchanan and Parshat Ekev. And the Mishnah in Masechet Tanit, Perek Dalet, quotes Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who says that there is no holiday in the Jewish calendar as joyous as Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. And Tu B'Av is the day when the young women of Yerushalayim go out and dance in the vineyards and shiduchim, etc., etc. How are we supposed to react to such a range of emotions? So I think it would be helpful to look at one of the reasons that we celebrate Tu B'Av. Last week's Parsha Va'etchanan, we addressed one of the reasons, and today we're going to address another one of the reasons. The Gemara in Masechet Baba Batra, beginning on Kuf Chaf Aleph, gives us six reasons to rejoice on Tu B'Av. It was on this day that the Shvatim were granted permission to marry with other Shvatim. Originally, in the first door, in the first generation of people who entered Eretz Yisrael to receive their Nachala, to receive their portion of Eretz Yisrael, women who inherited their father's land were not really allowed to marry outside of their shevet, so that the land in one shevet would not be given to another shevet. However, on Tu B'Av, the next generation of women were granted permission to marry anybody from any shevet. And the limitation that the first generation experienced of only marrying within your shevet expired. So that's one of the reasons, and I would imagine that's the first two reasons I would imagine relate to the fact that Tu B'Av is a day of marriages and shiduchim, etc. The second reason the Gemara gives there in Baba Batra is that the shevet of Binyamin, after the story of Pilegesh Begiva at the end of Sefer Shoftim, terrible story of Pilegesh Begiva, Shevet Binyamin almost wiped out. The only people who remained in all of Shevet Binyamin was 600 men who managed to escape, and the rest of Bnei Israel took a neder that they would not allow their children, their daughters, to marry anybody from Shevet Binyamin. But later, though, obviously Bnei Israel realized this couldn't be, and they regretted that neder, and they had to figure out a way, so to speak, to get out of the neder, and not for now, but basically on Tu B'Av, the neder was able to be circumvented, so to speak, and it saved Shevet Binyamin from being extinct, from being literally wiped out. Certainly a cause for celebration. The third reason the Gemara gives is that the Dor HaMidbar ended. Obviously, that's not a reason to celebrate, but what used to happen from all the way back from the Chet HaMeraglim, when Bnei Israel cried that they would not enter Eretz Israel, so Hashem promised that none of that generation, except for a few Yechidim, Yehoshua and Kalev and Pinchas, and really the entire generation would be wiped out. And what they used to do every single year, year one, year two, year three, year four, on Tisha B'Av, Moshe Rabbeinu told all the adults, go out and dig holes. And they literally slept in their graves It's incredible. And they woke up the next morning and somebody would yell out, let the living people should separate from the dead people. And every night, every year, on Tisha B'Av, approximately 15,000 people died that night on average. And everybody else returned to their homes for at least another year. And in the last year, in the 40th year, nobody died on the ninth day of Av. So they thought that they may have made a mistake. They counted wrong. And so they slept in their graves the next night. And everybody woke up. And the next night, everybody woke up, nobody died. And it wasn't until Tu B'Av, when the moon was whole and full, when they realized that no more people would die. And it was on Tu B'Av that they declared, as we mentioned, a day of celebration. That's the third reason. The fourth reason is because when Yeravam ben Nevat, in the beginning of Sefer Melachim, when Yeravam ben Nevat broke away Malchut Yisrael, and he went north, he was in charge of the northern part. It's a terrible, terrible civil dissolution. Bnei Yisrael split. Yehuda and Yisrael. And Yehuda in the south and Yisrael in the north. And Yeravam ben Nevat was nervous that people from the north, from Malchut Yisrael, would continue to go to Yerushalayim, which was the capital of Malchut Yehuda. And he was afraid that people would go to Malchut Yehuda, go to Yerushalayim, and continue to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the capital of Yerushalayim, in the capital of Yehuda. And he was afraid that it would weaken his Malchut. And so he set up border patrols. Imamish set up, he made a border. And nobody from Malchut Yisrael could cross over and take a look in Sefer Malachim Perek Yud Bet. And one of the last kings of Malchut Yisrael, Hoshea ben Ela, undid that gezeira on Tu B'Av, and he allowed people to come to Yerushalayim. That's certainly a reason to celebrate. That was a fourth reason to celebrate. So far, we've had four reasons. We talked about the second generation of people entering Eretz Yisrael and Shvatim could marry each other. We talked about Shevet Binyamin. After Pilegesh Begiva, people started marrying Shevet Binyamin. We mentioned the end of the dying in the desert as a third reason. And right now, Yeravam ben Nevat's guards were taken away on Tu B'Av, and people were able to go back to Yerushalayim easily. We're going to skip the fifth reason because we're going to focus on that for a lot. And the sixth reason, which we discussed last week in Parshat Vayetchanan, the wood to be used for the Mizbeach was no longer cut starting to Be'av, because the wood that was used to make the fires on the Mizbeach had to be dry. And if they were too fresh, there would be worms and there would be smoke. And so, and starting on Tu B'Av, they stopped cutting the wood, and you'll listen to that shiur if you'd like to hear why that was a cause of celebration. But we saw five reasons, but we skipped the fifth. In other words, the fifth reason in the Gemara uses, and I'll quote this Gemara inside. It comes from again, Baba Batra Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph Lamud Bet Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Bet, and the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says like this. Rav Matna Amar, Rav Matna was the one who gave this fifth reason, really. Rav Matna Amar, Yom Shenitnu Haruge Beitar Likvura. Tu B'Av was the day when the people of Beitar, which we'll explain this in a moment, were allowed to be buried. We'll explain this in a moment. De Amar Rav Matna, says Rav Matna, Oto Hayom Shenitnu Haruge Beitar Likvura, on that day that Harugei Beitar were allowed to be buried, Tiknu B'Yavne HaTov V'HaMeitiv. In Yavne, the center of Torah Judaism after the second Beit HaMikdash, Churban, second Beit HaMikdash, they were metakein in Yavne, a fourth bracha in Birkat HaMazon, the fourth bracha called HaTov V'HaMeitiv. God is good and He does good. What does that mean? Says the Gemara. HaTov Shelo Hisrichu, V'hameitiv shenitnu likvura. What is going on? What is going on? One, as you may know, one of the five terrible tragedies that happened on Tisha B'Av was the capture by the Romans about 50 years after the second Beit HaMikdash's destruction, the capture of Beitar. Beitar was the last stronghold of Bar Kokhba and the Bar Kokhba rebellion. This was during the time of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva saw Bar Kokhba as Mashiach. And then Bar Kokhba unfortunately ended up, because Bar Kokhba led an incredibly successful uprising against the Romans. And Rabbi Akiva thought he was Mashiach because of this. Unfortunately, his rebellion ended on Tisha B'Av. It was a 3-year siege against Beitar. And he and almost 600,000 Jews were murdered. And one of the ways that the Romans disgraced and demoralized the rebels was that the Harugei Beitar, which we just mentioned, were not buried. The Romans said, "You may not bury the dead." And the Gemara in Masechet Gittin at the bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Bet describes how terrible it was. The corpses were stacked; it was huge. It seems a huge human fence. It was used as a human fence around one of the governors there. Huge. And those people were not allowed to be buried. For some people say 11 years, some people say 15 years. And it wasn't until then, until the end of the 11 years or 15 years, that they were allowed to be buried. And Rabbi Gamliel and Yavne, Rabbi Gamliel was the head of Yavne, and Rabbi Gamliel and Yavne in general, when they finally were given permission to bury the dead of Yavne of Beitar, and that's what we said in the Gemara a moment ago. Amar Rav Matna Oto Ayom Shnatnu Harugei Beitar Likvura. Tu B'Av was the day that those Harugei Beitar were allowed to be buried. Almost 600,000 people allowed to be buried. But not only were they allowed to be buried, but when they got there, they realized that none of these bodies lying in the Middle Eastern sun for more than a decade, none of them decomposed. It was a huge nace, and it was this double nace that is celebrated on Tu B'Av, and it is commemorated in the fourth bracha, Birkat HaMazon. I'll go back to the Gemara and read it again for a second. So again, Amar Rav Matna Oto Ayom Shnatnu Harugei Beitar Likvura, on that day that Harugei Beitar were allowed to be buried, Tiknu B'Yavne Hatov HaMeitiv. In Yavne they were metakein that fourth bracha, Hatov Meitiv. Why? Hatov Shelo Hisrichu. God is great that He made a miracle that the bodies did not decompose. Excuse the bluntness, but the literal translation of Shelo Hisrichu means they did not rot. They did not rot. And v'hametiv, and God is great. What did He do for us? Shenitnu likvura. He let us bury them. And so Tu B'Av has six reasons why we celebrate. I'm focusing on this fifth reason, on the fact that Harugei Beitar were allowed to be buried. And we have to ask the question: this celebration of Harugei Beitar being able to be buried, and the celebration of the miracle that the bodies didn't decompose, what connection is there between the tragedy of Beitar and Birkat HaMazon? Why is that the first thing that Yavne decides? How are we going to commemorate this? We commemorate it by instituting a fourth bracha. You have to understand a little bit better what that means. In order to do that, we have to go back and understand Birkat HaMazon a little bit better. The bracha, the mitzvah for Birkat HaMazon comes from our parsha, from Parshat Ekev. The Torah tells us in Perek Chet, beginning with Pasuk Zayin, Ki Hashem Elokecha Miviacha El Eretz Tova Eretz Nachalei Mayim Ayanot Utomot Yotzim Babika Uvahar. Hashem is taking us to this great, beautiful, beautiful land. Eretz Chita Usera V'Gefen Uteina V'Rimon Eretz Etz Shemen Utvash Eretz Asher Lo B'Miskenut Tochal Bah Lechem Lo Tachsar Kol Bah Eretz Asher Avaneha Varzel Umei Harareha Tachzov Nechoshet. And then Pasuk Yud V'Achalta V'Savata U'Veirachta Et Hashem Elokecha Al Ha'aretz HaTova Asher Natan Lach. That's it. That's the mitzvah min haTorah. There is one opinion which says that that the birchot haTorah, lasok b'divrei Torah, asher bachar banu, asher natan lanu, that is a mitzvah min haTorah. But everybody holds, right out of the psukim we just read, that birchat hamazon, benching, is a bracha that is min haTorah. Perhaps the only bracha in the entire Torah that's min haTorah. Anyway, at first glance, it seems that birkat hamazon is an assortment of loosely connected brachot that seem to have little or nothing to do with each other. Let's look at the Gemara in Brachot that describes the four brachot in benching. It comes from a Gemara in Masechet Brachot, Daf Memchet Amud Bet. And the Gemara says like this. Amar Rav Nachman, Gemara Memchet Amud Bet Brachot. Amar Rav Nachman, Moshe Tikein Li Yisrael Birkat Hazan. The first bracha, Hazanat Ha'olam Kulo Betuvo, that bracha comes from Moshe. When? B'sha'ah Sheyarad Lahem Man. The first bracha comes from Moshe. He started the first bracha that you have to say, that to bench about the man, when Hashem brought us the man. And then the Gemara continues, Yehoshua tikein lahem birkata aretz, kevan shenichnesu la'aretz. Yehoshua, the leader who brought Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, Yehoshua established the second bracha, what's called birkata aretz. David u'Shlomo tiknu bonei Yerushalayim. David u'Shlomo were the ones who were metaken the bracha of bonei Yerushalayim. What does that mean? The Gemara continues. David tiken al Yisrael amecha v'al Yerushalayim irecha. David, if you remember, was the one who, the leader, and he was the one who bought the land for the Beit HaMikdash. U'Shlomo tiken al habayit hagadol v'akadosh. That's the third bracha. Shlomo was the one who built the Beit HaMikdash. That's the first three brachot. And the Gemara says, Hatov v'hametiv, b'yavne tiknuha. We already read that in the Gemara Babatra, but here we have it in brachot also. What does that Gemara say? Da'amar Rav Matna, oto ayom shnitnu harugei beitar likvura, tiknu b'yavne, hatov v'hametiv, hatov shlo hisrichu, v'hametiv shnitnu likvura. So that is the fourth bracha. We have four brachot in Birkat Birkat HaMazon in benching. Moshe was matakin the first bracha Birkat HaZan when the man fell. Yehoshua was matakin the second bracha Birkat HaAretz when they entered Eretz Yisrael. David and Shlomo were matakin the bracha Bnei Yerushalayim. And the fourth bracha Vatova Meitiv was established in Yavne, corresponding to the people who died in Beitar and who were allowed to be buried. Once again, we asked our question already, what connection is there between the tragedy of Beitar and the Birkat HaMazon? But we could really ask, in general, what is the connection between the various brachot? I eat a full meal. I understand. I make a bracha beforehand. I understand. I understand that the Torah gives me a chiyuv to bench afterwards. So I can understand benching the first bracha. Okay, Hazanat Ha'olam Kulo B'Tuvo, Moshe, the man, miracles, wonderful. But the second bracha? The second bracha has to do with, what did we say? The second bracha has to do with entering Eretz Yisrael. What is that connection to benching? And the third bracha of the Beit HaMikdash, what connection is that to benching? I'm talking about food here. The man, I understand. Israel, why? Beit HaMikdash, why? And certainly the fourth bracha, Vatova Meitiv, why? So I'd like to share with you an idea that Rav Kook gives. Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook shares this idea in his Perush on the Siddur. He wrote a two-volume Perush on the Siddur called Olat Re'aya. And it's a really beautiful Siddur with difficult but gorgeous Perushim on the Siddur, and beginning on Daf Shin Samach Aleph 361 and on, Rav Kook explains the various brachot and the connection between all of them. He looks at the various brachot actually as a progression of growth. that B'nai Yisrael first experienced when we became a nation, and that we still continue to experience today. Once again, Rav Kook looks at the various brachot in benching as a progression of growth that B'nai Yisrael first experienced when we first became a nation. Let's see. The first bracha, Birkat HaZan. We said that Moshe was mitakein, the Birkat HaZan. Says Rav Kook, the most fundamental requirement that needs to be in place for a person is that of physical well-being. I can't do anything unless I am fed, sheltered, healthy. That first bracha, Birkat HaZan, which was established when the man first fell, and we still today say to commemorate that gift, reminds us of that most basic need. A person cannot serve Hashem unless he or she eats. It's as simple as that. And a nation cannot be expected to fulfill its divine mandate unless the welfare of its individual components is addressed. The nation has to be taken care of physically. We need to be able to eat. Then we have the second bracha, Birkat HaAretz, which we said was established by Yehoshua when all of Bnei Israel entered Eretz Israel. Says Rav Kook that being taken care of as an individual is not in itself all that we need. The physical security of a nation as a whole needs to be ensured as well. And we are feeling that al bisarenu, as we say in Hebrew. We are feeling that today. That I myself can have food. But I also, I must have some kind of ensuring that the physical security of a nation is there. And that can only happen when we as a nation are in our national homeland in Eretz Israel. When we recite, despite the fact that rockets are falling almost 4,000 as of this recording, now, and not to mention the last 2,000 years of rockets falling literally and figuratively, still, we know that the physical and national security is ensured where? Only in Israel. We know that when we recite the second bracha Birkat HaAretz, which commemorates the gift of Eretz Israel, we are reminded regularly of Hashem's provisions of national security and well-being. And even that is not enough. And we progress to the third bracha. The third bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim, which was established by David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech. Once our personal and national needs are supplied on a physical level, we are ready to fulfill our destiny on an international and global level. We must teach the entire world about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we must lead all nations to recognize Hashem as the Borei Olam, and the only God, and the one God, and the true God. Lada'at kol amei ha'aretz ki Hashem hu ha'elokim. Einod. By reciting the third bracha of Birkat HaMazon, which David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech established, we are reminded of Yerushalayim, the capital of our national destiny. And we are reminded of the Beit HaMikdash, as the focal point of our national energies. Why am I eating? Why do I want national security? So that I can have Yerushalayim, so I can have the Beit HaMikdash, so that I can teach the world about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about who created the world, and who knows the world, and who involves himself in the world, and who's Mashgiach over the world. I don't just eat so that I'm full. I eat so that me, and my nation, can bring Hashem's name into this world, and to glorify it, be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. And that's beautiful. And then we turn to the fourth bracha. The fourth bracha of Hatov Vahameitiv. The fourth bracha of Hatov Vahameitiv was established in Yavne corresponding, as we said, remembering and commemorating the people who died in Beitar after the Bar Kokhba rebellion, and that they were given, they were allowed to be buried, and that their bodies did not decompose. Says Rav Kook, we're already on Shin Samach Zayin in the Olat Re'aya. As time goes on, says Rav Kook, and as history unfolds, B'nai Yisrael can easily be discouraged. The numerous galuyot, the lengthy exiles, the dispersion of our people, this fourth bracha in Yavne, this fourth bracha of benching was established in Yavne, not in Yerushalayim. This was established when there was no Beit HaMikdash. And it reminds us of the people who died in the failed rebellion. It was successful for a while, but it failed. It reminds us of the need to try, even when all seems futile. But it also reminds us that despite setbacks, the body of Bnei Yisrael as a whole can never, will never decompose. The personal and national commitment and connection that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with us is never severed, no matter how grim things appear. And with this structure in mind, Rav Kook explains that every time we engage in the very physical act of eating, our actions are transformed into a lesson in individual responsibility, into a lesson of national history, into a lesson of divine promises. It's a lesson that we should never give up. It's a lesson that we should always look forward. It's a lesson that no matter how it seems like we fail, Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. It enables us, when we eat, to transcend the meal we just consumed. And it can remind us of our responsibilities to a nation that tirelessly works to share and to spread the greatness of Hashem with the entire world despite temporary setbacks. And perhaps that is the connection between Tisha B'Av and Tu B'Av. Sure, we just suffered the painful defeat of Tisha B'Av. We don't give up. Sure, we felt the loss and the mourning on Tisha B'Av. But we keep going. There is no happier days than Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. We never give up. We keep trying. There will never be an end to our striving until Bnei Yisrael returns to Eretz Yisrael with the Beit HaMikdash being rebuilt. B'mheira v'yameinu. Amen. Have a Shabbat Shalom.